My name is Hans Magnusson, and I am Assistant Director General for International Organizations and Policy here at CEDA. And over the years, CEDA has supported a number of activities and partners in the field of animal husbandry, including animal health. In many of the rural development and agricultural development programs CEDA has supported over the years, there have been components supporting animal husbandry. Just a few examples. For many years, CEDA has been supporting SLU in the research on animal health in Asia through the MECAN program. Or during 2006 to 2009, CEDA channeled substantial support to FAO to combat the avian flu. Today, one example of the support CEDA is providing is the support to Moldova in the work in improving food safety. And another example is the planned CEDA support to a new international training program, ITP course, on animal health developed with a number of different Swedish agencies. Within CEDA, we have also started to work on how we can work closer between human health and animal health. And as a starting point, we are taking the challenges facing humanity with antimicrobial resistance. Today is March 8th. The International Day for Women, a day that helps us to remember important struggles like women's right to vote and political participation, and other advances in our common goal of gender equality. Today we can also take stock on the important struggles we have to fight forward. Sexual and reproductive rights and health, women's double labor burden, not at least as small-scale farmers and household service providers, women's right to decide over their bodies, girls' rights to not be mutilated because of their sex, and of course, the right to equal salary. Let us remember during our talks today that Sweden has a feminist foreign policy, that we, CEDA, champion equal rights for all, that development and poor women, girls, men and boys' opportunities to improve their life situation cannot be achieved without full gender equality. We are, at CEDA, very happy that EBA wanted to use our facilities for this seminar presenting an interesting study on animal health and poverty reduction. We really look forward to this seminar on combating poverty through the work on improving animal health and extend a very warm welcome to all of you to CEDA. And I will now hand over to Gun-Britt Andersson, Vice Chair of EBA, to open and lead this seminar. Most welcome, Gun-Britt.
Thank you. Yes, thank you very much for welcoming us here. And I also want to welcome you all to this EBA seminar on animal health matters. EBA is arranging it, and we're happy that CEDA agreed to host it. My name is Gun-Britt Andersson, and I'm here today in my capacity as Vice Chair of EBA. And I also chair the reference group on this report. In a field that I'm not at all very, very acquainted with. But I also felt I could do it because I have a background, for instance, in SAREC. And in SAREC is one of the organizations within the Swedish, research is one of the areas within the Swedish Development Corporation that I think has done quite a lot on animal health. And I often went to the cigar meetings in very long ago and found that very, very interesting. And we tried to promote, I think, the institute on animal health in Africa. Yeah, a few words first about the expert group on AIDS studies. Maybe some thought that this was an odd topic for us to take up, but we felt it was very important. We are an expert group for AIDS studies, and it's a government committee, and the purpose is to help improve Sweden's development cooperation. And in collaboration with researchers and other experts, we analyze and evaluate Swedish international development assistance. We focus primarily on overarching issue within Swedish development assistance, not on individual projects. And I think we found that this is an overarching issue. And EBA defines independently the issues to be examined and studied, and we commission them. And then it's up to the authors solely to be responsible for the analysis and recommendation. But we do for each study also have a reference group that I shared, and where we had members from Anders Davelud from Jordbruksverket, who couldn't be present today. He has a flu. And Inge Järremo, who has also got a flu. He tended grandchildren during the sports holidays. I did too, but I avoided the flu. And then Mats Åberg Sida, who is here. They were all very active and contributed to with critics and suggestions of how the report could be improved. It is our ambition to bridge gaps between policy, research, and practice. Our seminars provide a forum for dialogue and discussion of pertinent issues for development, I add, for development cooperation. This is also the ambition of today's seminar, where we have the pleasure of launching a report focusing on the importance of animal health for development. The title of the report, Animal Health in Development, Its Role for Poverty Reduction and Human Welfare. It is written by Jonathan Rushton, Professor in Animal Health and Food Systems Economics in Liverpool, at University of Liverpool. Arvid Uggla, Emeritus Professor of Veterinary Parasitology, Swedish University of Agricultural Science, and then Ulf Magnusson, Professor of Animal Reproduction, also at the Swedish at the Swedish Agricultural University. The EBA has several ways to launch a beginner study. We invite proposals on specific projects. Sometimes we may approach individual experts, or expert may approach us with a proposal. The second ever EBA report was a so-called policy option report on priorities in the health sector. At that seminar, we were approached by one of the authors of the present report who reacted on the one-sided focus on human health. What about animal health? This report is thus a good example of a study initiated by the authors. So what about animal health? In our task to identify gaps in knowledge and practice, we believe that animal health is an area that has been under-prioritized. We heard CEDA has been doing a lot, but I must also say that I've been in development cooperation since 1969. And I haven't heard a lot about it. Most I heard, I think, when I was in Tanzania working there, from all the women that I bought eggs from and live chicken. And they had actually been able to raise their chicken and eggs, produce their eggs, because of a Swedish contribution to the Kibaha Center where the hatchery was. So that was, we saw that connection between women's wish to make some money for their household and to get some food, and we benefited. But also in research, as I said, and I think in the early years, we had a bit more of it, and we heard now about the courses that we have been supporting over the years. I don't know the status of them now, and we also know about the field of research. But maybe I should, as one of the decision makers in development cooperation, have minded more about it before and heard more about it before. Now I know it's in the new platform that is not yet approved, but I think it's mentioned there, which I think maybe it's an effect of this report. I don't know. Yes, then I want to invite that we will conduct this seminar in this way, that we first of all get a presentation of the report and then comments from a panel. This presentation a bit more than half an hour for the presentation, and then comments by a panel. And the panel is Barbara Wieland, a team leader at ILRI. Is it still in Kenya?
No, You are based in Addis Ababa.
Yeah. And it's one of the CIGAR institutes focusing on health. and you have been working a lot in different countries on animal health. We also have Ola Möller, who is at present in charge at SIDA, of a senior policy specialist for agriculture, covering everything, including animal health. Yeah. Good. Yeah. And then it's Cecilia van Gansberge, who is deputy director at the Ministry for Enterprise and Innovation. And she will, I think, advise us also on trade aspects and so on. There we would also have had some contributions from Anders Davelid, he's a trade policy analyst at the Swedish Board of Agriculture. He is the one with the flu. But, but I think we have an image from him. So welcome to the authors to start the presentation. Then I will call the panel after the presentation. Thank you.
Thank you. Good morning, everyone, and thanks for the kind introduction, Gunbrit. So I'm Ulf Magnusson here, and it will be Jonathan Rushton and myself that giving this presentation, whereas Arvid Uggla will be involved in the panel discussion afterwards, yes, so you don't expect any contribution from Arvid at this stage. We have called this report Animal Health in Development, its role for poverty reduction and human welfare. And we are actually quite pleased that Eva was allowing us to write this. And we also initially want to acknowledge this reference group with all the very constructive criticism from that group. I will just give a very brief introduction, and then Jonathan will present the bulk of our work. So the crash course about livestock in low-income countries. It's about livelihood and food security. There are about 7,500 million livestock keepers worldwide living on less than $2 a day, and that is what we call extreme poverty. I think that is something we have to consider. And these are not connected to the urban Twitter community that we usually communicate with in some low-income countries. It's a very low productivity in that sector due to the chronic diseases, and they are also very vulnerable to contagious diseases, to pandemics and so, because the animal health systems is very poor. And there are very strong arguments for a gender-sensitive approach, as women constitute the majority of the poor livestock keepers. And it's at least two aspects in this. One is to unlock the potential by empowering women to contribute more and giving the opportunity to produce more and better. And the other one is, of course, also to empower women themselves into create a better conditions for them. So it's at least two aspects there, which is very, very important, I think. We also have to consider that livestock is critical for food security for 200 million pastoralists over the world. And these are often very marginalized groups of people. They are living in areas of very harsh conditions and so, and they are often politically weak. We know that from Swedish experiences. I think it's a recent movie about that these days. And also when we talk about food security, we have to talk about the nutritional aspects, which you often forget. Currently, there are about 165 million children that are stunted, that are shortened in length and also cognitive development because of the lack of micronutrients. This is called the hidden hunger. And animal source foods is very rich in these essential micronutrients like iron and zinc and other things like that. And that is often forgotten in the food security discussion or the context. And Jonathan will elaborate more about these aspects. But I will talk about three aspects that I think that you are maybe or hopefully know about when you think about animal health. And one is this word zoonosis. That is diseases, infectious diseases that are transmitted or potentially transmitted from animals to humans and vice versa. And I think this was becoming more known when we had the outbreak some 10 years ago with the avian influenza in Southeast Asia then all over the world. Then people started to think about zoonosis. And Madam Chair here mentioned the Swedish support for this work to containing this disease. So this zoonosis, it's generally regarded that they are best contained at the source, that is in the poor countries, because it often comes from, when it comes to flu, it's often from East Asia, where people and animals living in very close proximity. And of course, as usual, the sad story is that it hits the poor the most. The other aspects that have been coming increasingly known in the context of animal health in our circles here in this part of the world is the antimicrobial resistance. And preventive animal health reduce the need for antimicrobials. Healthy animals doesn't need antimicrobials. So if you could prevent and having systems for that, that is very good indeed. But we also have to acknowledge that most of the excessive use of antibiotics, which is a bad thing, it drives the resistance if you use a lot of antibiotics. That is in emerging economies and the OECD countries. In really poor settings and different kind of systems in African parts, it's the access accessibility of antibiotics that is the issue. So I think these are things that you and the people, especially outside this room, could connect to when they think about animal health. And the third thing, when we talk about livestock in our part of the world, in our privileged bubble here in the north, is, of course, the animal health and the natural resource use and climate change. Livestock production in low-income countries is often viewed as a very inefficient use of natural resources, and that is often true. It's poor feed quality, it's poor genetics, it's poor management routines, and it's poor animal health. Because healthy animals use less water and land and emit less greenhouse gases per kilo egg, milk, and meat produced. So it's a great potential for improvement by applying existing concepts and techniques and so in the animal health sector and in other sectors to improve the for instance, the greenhouse gas emission per kilo egg and milk and meat. And this is just an example of this. Here is how much kilo milk a cow produce, and here is carbon dioxide equivalent per kilo produced. And Sweden, each dot here is a country, and Sweden is here somewhere. We have a very efficient carbon emission, efficient production system. So if we could take these countries, for instance, and move them here, that would do a tremendous improvement in reducing the greenhouse gas emission. And this kind of increased efficiency holds true for most kinds of natural resource use. So I think that is important to remember and think, and don't have a very dictatorial discussion about this, which we sometimes have in this country. So before leaving the floor to Jonathan, I just want to summarize a little bit that animal health could. These are the SDGs that is most directly connected to. Of course, you it contributes to other SDGs as well. And I have covered some of them on this side, and Jonathan now will deal mainly with these overarching ones, the no poverty, zero hunger, and also about economic growth. So I leave the floor to Jonathan, because this is the aspects that the report mainly deals with. So please, Jonathan.